Creek Country Club is seeking a variance from the height requirement under Section 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Kings Creek Circle at the intersection of Patriots Way and Kings Creek Circle. The 911 address is 1 Kings Creek Circle, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 1158. And this is a portion of. The applicant provided a, just want to make note that the applicant had provided a site plan as well in his exhibit book with the application. And we received 0 letters of opposition, 1 letter of support, and 7 mail returns. The letter of support that we received is from Mark Connors, president of Kings Creek Homeowners Association. And the letter states that the letter is on behalf of the Kings Creek residential community in support of the variance request filed by Kings Creek Country Club to increase the height of the safety netting at its driving range. Kings Creek is a private residential community represented by the Kings Creek Homeowners Association. KCCC, also private, is located in the most prominent feature within the community. It includes an 18-hole championship golf course, a driving range, and short game practice facility, tennis and pickleball courts, a fitness center, outdoor pool, and clubhouse dining. The golf course runs throughout the community and many homes abut the course, and for the remaining homes, it is easily accessible. In many ways, KCCC is the community's identity. They are pleased that KCCC is committed to investing in its facilities to improve its amenities and overall to improve their community. One of the first steps in KCCC's long-term plan to update and improve its facility is to make some adjustments to its clubhouse and surrounding area, resulting in a need to increase the safety netting on its driving range. Property values within the residential community have a direct correlation to the success of KCCC. Homes on the golf course, as well as those homes that are in close proximity to other amenities, are very desirable. The popularity and success of the amenities dictate member retention and attract new members and prospective homeowners. For the residential community to retain its appeal, KCCC must be competitive in the private club marketplace. Its success is critical to the success of their community. And the Kings Creek Homeowners Association hereby submits the letter in support of the variance request submitted by KCCC to increase the height of the safety netting on its driving range. Specifically, the applicant is seeking the variance from the height limitation of 42 feet to allow construction of the driving range fencing system poles and netting up to 100 feet in height, which was shown on the plan, the site plan, marked Exhibit A, and you should have received a copy of that. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, sir. Chairman Calloway and members, thank you very much for hearing us. I have with me 3 witnesses. My name is Stephen Spence. I'm representing Kings Creek Country Club. With me tonight are from the McDonald Design Group, Joel Wyman.
Raise your hand.
Kevin Weiss is the PGA golf professional at Kings Creek Country Club, and Don Byerly, who is the general manager of the club. I was going to suggest that all 3 of them be sworn, and they'll give brief testimony about largely some of the information that's in the packet.
All right.
So if they may.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, Kevin Weiss, 37375 Harmony Drive, 1997.
Okay.
Don Byerly, 105 Mermaid Lane, Milton, Delaware, 19971.
Thank you.
Joel Wyman, 3406 Megan's Way, Olney, Maryland.
And the 3 of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Yes.
And when you go to speak, just make sure you repeat your name for the record so we know who's speaking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a brief introduction of what we're doing, and I realize our drawings are in black and white, and the county's tax map parcel number map is much more decorative and more descriptive, and I thought I'd walk over that for just a minute and point out briefly what's actually shown on your drawings and then come back to this exhibit. The parcel, which is the subject of the application, is in yellow. The entire tax parcel number for Kings Creek Country Club includes, of course, the entire 18-hole course, which is outlined in blue. So this is the inner core area. This is the club hat. Whoops.
Sorry. It's middle.
This is the main entrance. The entrance to the community is all the way over here on Shuttle Road. And County Bank, if you're familiar with the area, the County Bank building is here, the Exxon station, as you head this way, you're heading into Rehoboth.
But to get back to the country club, you come off this, off of Shell Road, excuse me, all the way back into here to the entrance to the club. The area that we're trying to affect is our existing driving range is right here. The, excuse me, the 18th green, if I'm doing it correctly, is right about here where the K in Kings Creek is. And so we're going to be trying to increase the height of our existing fencing from 50 to 100 feet in front of, or what protects the 18th green, and primarily to protect our clubhouse, which, if I'm doing it correctly, is this, it's, you know, it's among our trees, but it's this structure right in here. And we're going to be trying to increase the size of the netting for that area for both from here, which is sort of the beginning of the driving range, all the way out to approximately here. And the black and white drawings you have are somewhat helpful in that regard. And there are some color materials in the booklet as well. But again, simplifying, the clubhouse building is right here. The fencing that we're proposing to increase the size of is here, out to here. And a second piece is much smaller, but right here, to protect the 18th green. This is our existing driving range, which has been at the site for a number of years. When we first made our phone call about this, we thought that we might not need any variance, but the Planning and Zoning Office did indicate to us that they consider the fencing to be a structure, primarily because you have to put, when you're talking about something as large, you have to put a foundation in underneath it. And because it's a structure, it appears to require variance from the 42-foot height limit. We believe that, and I don't think any of us that were here this evening were actually present when the first fencing was built for the driving range, but we believe at the time that it was first put up that it was not required for us to appear to get any type of variance from a height limit, and the existing fencing in some areas is as high as 50 feet. At any rate, on the back side of this, one of the other drawing is a blown up version showing the same basic things. It's reversed in the presentation, but this is the area next to our parking lot and the clubhouse building right here. And this is the area that would protect the 18th green. And I put these little tacks on to show you the various homeowners that we solicited the support of and who included their support letters in the exhibits that you already have in your booklets. And so we asked the people who would see the fencing from this angle, and we asked the people who would have an opportunity to see the fencing from this angle. There's an empty lot here. This house and this one don't really have views of all this. And there's one individual we were able to contact. I think I learned that he's actually in a rehab center from a serious car accident. I haven't been able to talk to him about any of this. But having said that, the groups are all like these tacks. For all people that we contacted about requesting the variance, and all of whom submitted a letter in support of our application, including two folks that are off the map who own homes on the other side of Kings Creek Circle, which is behind all of this, outside the picture, if you will, these two lots here that are just outside the clubhouse proper. Now, all that said, we submitted a fairly thick booklet. I was going to call some of my witnesses to just go through some of the material, some of the exhibits, submit all of the exhibits into evidence for you for the record, and ask for your consideration and questions. So my first witness I'd like to call actually is Mr. Wyman, and if you would just step up here with me. Joel, just describe briefly how you're employed and how you're connected to the Kings Creek Country Club community at this point, or the course at this point.
Sure. So I'm the senior designer at McDonald Design Group. We're located in Jessup, Maryland. Been there for about 20 years, this month actually.
All right. And in connection with that, have you been retained by Kings Creek Country Club to help them with some design changes and implementation of design changes for the course?
I have. I've been working with the club for about 2 years now, working with their improvement committee and their board and their membership. It was a course-wide study, all 18 holes and practice facilities. You know, we're planning a long phased implementation program for some of the tees and bunkers and things like that. However, you know, the club has shown the desire to improve their practice areas initially within this first phase.
And in connection with that, obviously you've seen the course and inspected it. Were you asked to make various recommendations about whether it was possible to take the existing driving range and move it And if you can remember, why were you told to evaluate that?
Yes. So we did, I was asked to study the driving range specifically. That was one of our first tasks because the current range, we have some safety issues that we're fighting as far as balls that are escaping the net, striking the clubhouse, buildings, parking lots, cars, and actually golfers possibly as they cross from the 18th hole over to the clubhouse. So, you know, that was a major concern, a safety issue for the club that they want to get addressed as soon as possible. That's why it's considered for their first phase. We did look at moving the driving range, trying to relocate it in a separate area. We studied that for many months and came up with a few draft plans. We just found that it was unfeasible. One, the cost. I mean, it's a very tight property. We don't have a lot of wiggle room left or right, north or south. You know, so if we were to relocate the driving range, many holes would have to shift or change, so it got you know, cost prohibitive. But also, there were environmental impacts as well. The driving range would be located right next to ponds that we'd be hitting golf balls and things into the water for our proposed scheme of altering the driving range. And finally, we just kind of came to the realization that if we did move the driving range to a different location, we would still need nets. You know, we still have safety issues no matter where the range went. So we decided that the existing footprint of the driving range was the best location for it.
Did you reach out to other persons familiar with driving range construction for recommendations as to what you could do with the existing range in terms of safety and netting?
As far as the netting, yes. There is an individual, Mr. Tanner, that I work with. He's a netting consultant. He specializes in driving range netting, batting cages. He works all over the country. He's located in California. This is the third or fourth club that I've worked with Mr. Tanner, and he did come up with some recommendations.
And generally, what were they?
Mr. Tanner, he always designs for 100% golf ball capture to make sure that we collect every single golf ball within the driving range footprint. A lot of times that's impractical and cost prohibitive. His solution was 135 nets surrounding the entire driving range.
All right, and when you consulted with the members of the club, what was the end result of that discussion?
The cost of the 135-foot net and the height of the net that surrounded the driving range, it was not well received. It was impractical. So then we retooled the proposal and looked at installing this 100-foot net on the right-hand side of the range primarily, and back left of the range, because that would be the area that receives the most golf ball activity. But also, you know, as a study, Mr. Tanner in California, he designs his driving ranges and his nets, you know, for a different membership set and a different skill set. Kings Creek, you know, there's a lot of retirees. It's not the lowest of low handicappers there at the club. They don't hit the ball. They don't have, you know, the golf ball flight is a factor of many, many things as far as your swing speed, your launch angle, the strength. You know, and we thought that the Kings Creek membership, 135 feet high, was a little bit excessive. We thought a 100-foot high net between 500 and 570 feet to the right of the driving range would do the job well.
In that particular area, there is a fairly large stand of trees and various other growth. Are you familiar with all that on the I guess would be the left side of the clubhouse, right side of the driving range?
Yes, I am.
And if I may, I'm just going to direct your attention to a couple exhibits just for the record, if I may. In our packet of exhibits C, which are tabbed, are these some pictures of the existing right-hand side of the driving range? And going through the first picture, what's on the opposite side of the landscaping and the netting in this picture?
That's the clubhouse parking lot.
All right. And then moving along, what's is this a continuation of that fencing as you're heading toward the clubhouse?
Yes, it's further down. The clubhouse is now to your right of those two first poles.
Got it. And then this third picture is all the way from the tee itself looking down to the whole driving range. And on the left side of that picture, you can see the two poles that stick up for the coverage of the 18th green. Is that right?
Yes.
And on the right-hand side, of course, you see the remainder of the poles, the existing netting.
Yes.
All right. The last one is just another rendition of that focusing on entirely on the right side, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I have take a second here and find one other exhibit for you. Exhibit H, if you would, for a moment, could you direct your attention to that exhibit? Is this, what is this document, just so you can describe for the board what it is?
That is the proposal for the subcontractor that would be actually installing the driving range netting.
All right, and before any change orders that might be required, ultimately, what's the cost, proposed cost of doing this?
$376,000.
Does this include just the structures that would constitute the, what I call the 100-foot side system? Does it also contemplate the actual movement and placing of everything that is out there for the netting systems?
That's comprehensive of all netting costs.
Got it. All right. I want to direct the board to Exhibit I. Is this a letter that you wrote to the golf course superintendent?
Yes, it is.
And one of the subjects that you cover in the letter is your knowledge of, as a golf course designer and working in that industry, of trends in the industry. Could you describe briefly what trends you were discussing in the exhibit?
Right. The game of golf is changing. It's evolving. We're seeing a very big increase in practice areas and practice facilities as a magnet or a drawer to golf facilities. Golf is hard. It's difficult. It's challenging.
If I may, I can testify to that as a terrible golfer.
And we're finding that fewer people are taking up the game, and practice areas are so important to grow membership base, especially children and women getting them involved. We're seeing some nice growth in those areas. The game of golf, takes 4.5 hours. We all have time crunches, and we're not able to play so many rounds of golf. But as we see rounds leveling off or even decreasing in some markets, we're seeing a very big increase in the amount of practice. One, because of the time crunch that we all face, but also, golf is becoming a game of practice because there's so many scientific, swing, cameras, video, swing analysis machines, and we're seeing a lot more time spent on short game practice areas, on driving ranges going forward. So they're really an integral part of a successful golf operation.
And in the world of golf course design and management, isn't it also true that basically trying to keep up with that type of facility is key to your market share and marketplace competition?
It is. We're a very successful design build firm in the Mid-Atlantic area, I would say. 50, 60, maybe 65% of all my design work now in the Mid-Atlantic are practice areas. That's what clubs are using to attract and retain membership share. Private club market is a competitive business.
Just by way of one example, Exhibit J that we include in the packet is a picture of another course that's hired your firm. Is that true?
Yes, we're fortunate enough to work, and consult at quite a few clubs here on the shore. Many of them, I'm happy to say that I'm working with them, looking at ideas for renovating their practice facilities.
And this is just one example. It's not particular to our application, but it's another example in the marketplace.
Yes.
All right. This, I don't think you prepared these photographs, but you understand. Have you seen this picture before, and you have a general idea what it is?
Yes.
We've tried to depict as best we could what the height of a 100-foot fencing system to protect the area around the clubhouse would look like in general. I must say that the lines as drawn are cover a bigger area than our structures will actually cover. If you look at the left side of the picture, that line goes to the end of the picture, but the netting isn't going to go that far. It goes probably about a third of that distance. Just by way of example, here, this curve at the end, if that picture was accurate, we'd be going all the way across the actual driving range, which we're not. But we did want to show you our best estimate at a height line. And is this the existing cover that, in terms of tree coverage, that's in the area?
Yes.
And I just learned today, actually, that some of this in the backside of that might be being taken out as part of a redesign effort. Is that true?
Removed from the net, but that is correct.
And, but this, the, what I call the frontage pieces of the trees will generally remain?
Yes, sir.
Got it.
Yep.
Kevin talked about that. If I could direct your attention briefly to Exhibit N, and that's just a picture that is a part of the bid that shows the various structures and what their size and shape will be. Does that look familiar?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Yep. The nets vary in height.
But that's what accompanies the bid, if you will.
Yes, that's right.
Structurally built.
Yes.
All right. All right, now I was going to, before I call the next witness, I was simply going to offer to the board any, if they might have any questions for this particular witness, then I'll go to the next one if you'd like it that way.
Any questions? What is the netting?
It's a mesh. It's a woven, you know, fabric netting, like you'd see at a batting cage. It's okay. Not chain link. It's just a black color. It's see-through.
Fiber. A fiber? Or
it is fiber net, yes.
It'll have some steel cord support, I assume.
Yes, yeah, it's strung on steel cords, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. No other question.
Okay, anyone else?
I have something. You've worked with a Mr. Tanner on other golf courses?
I have.
And are you working on any in Sussex County with this netting?
With
the height?
No, ma'am.
No,
this is the only one.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
Did I understand you correctly that the balls that I've hit in the water is potentially a hazard to the environment?
Well,
because there's been a yeah. lot of them.
Same here.
On another note, your Exhibit L, at what height is that projected? Is that, it appears that it would be at least 100 feet, if not higher. It's certainly not ground level. Is that correct?
Yeah, the top red line would be 100 feet would be the highest part. That's the highest height that the net would be in select locations for ball capture, specifically near the parking lot and the clubhouse.
Right, and I think the purpose of the picture was to depict the height in relation
to the trees.
Tree level.
The existing canopy.
And the existing canopy is probably 60 feet.
I would have, well, as a person who lives in the community and was out there as early or as recently as this afternoon, I would have guessed that the canopy is somewhere in that 68 to 75 foot. It's clearly going to go above the canopy. There's no question about it. Sure. There are other trees, I must say, in the country club that are as much as 100 feet high, but in this particular location, I will say that the netting would go above the canopy.
Okay. No other questions?
I think we tried this with some new technology at the end of the day. I'm not so sure entirely accurate, but it's clear to me that it would be above the canopy.
Right.
Any other questions for Mr. Wyman?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'd like to call Mr. Kevin Wiest, who's the PGA professional.
Okay. Good evening.
Just again, state your record, name for the record again. Yep.
Kevin Wiest. I'm the head golf professional at Kings Creek.
Mr. Wiest, how long have you worked at Kings Creek?
I'm going on my 11th season.
All right. And so you've been around for lots of developments at the Kings Creek Country Club, I assume?
Yes, I have.
Talk to me and the board briefly about the development of the driving range as a more heavily used feature of Kings Creek Country Club.
So when I first started there in 2007, there were about 350 golfing members. It has grown to about 460 golfing members. When I first got there, we would call the driving range more of a warm-up range where you would go and just hit some balls before you go out and play, and then you go play your round, you come back, and there really wasn't much practicing. As we started giving more lessons, we've started seeing the members practice a lot more often. I would say in 2007, we were seeing about 2,000 to 3,000 golf balls hit per day, and this past year, we've seen about 15,000 golf balls hit per day. We've seen dramatic, as you've probably seen here, a lot of people moving to this area. And this past year we saw an increase of about 65 new members to the club, which has resulted this past year in a lot more golf balls and practice hit.
Now you're responsible, I assume, with you and your staff for the maintenance of the range and where the balls go and how they have to be picked up. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Yep. And generally, as the incidence of balls escaping the existing netting and or getting over the 18th green increases as a result of this increased volume?
They have increased a lot over the last few years.
And what's the other, if you will, the primary reason for what's going on in the industry and in golf in particular? We mentioned in our application equipment and technology and the like. Would you go into that briefly?
Yes. So within the last 22 years, we've seen a drastic increase in technology in golf. So we've gone from wood heads and much smaller to now we've got metal driver heads at 460cc, where the old ones were about 300. So it's just the size of the head. It is dramatically increased in size. It's gone to titanium, which you can create a lighter, thinner club face and change the weight on it. And when manufacturers start changing the weight in a club head, they can start changing the trajectory of a golf ball and how much it spins. Jack Nicklaus, we used to all try to hit like Jack Nicklaus, and he had a low, boring shot. You try to hit it low and let it roll and keep rolling out. Now with technology and the advancement of launch monitors, we now see that to hit a ball higher and keep the ball in the air and maximize that time in the air, you're actually going to hit the ball further. So people are trying to hit the ball higher and longer, and that has not gone well for us with the driving range.
And in connection with all that, is there also technological changes in the in balls themselves?
Yes. So it used to be, I don't know if you remember the Bellotta golf ball, but it was a very soft cover and it would spin a lot. So you would kind of give up distance for accuracy. And now they've come out with, Titleist is the biggest manufacturer, and they have the Pro V1 and Pro V1X golf ball. And it is made of polyurethane and very durable cores, where before it could disintegrate, it was made out of rubber bands. Now these golf balls will last longer than I will. And they're to maximize your distance in the air, spin. In fact, we just saw a great slide with Titleist on their dimple patterns and how much dimples matter and how the ball spins and stays in the air, and they are trying to maximize the time in the air.
Now with Kings Creek, we're not a TPC course, we're not the Masters or anybody like that, so I'm assuming we don't have too many players that are hitting the top ball at the top flight at the top distance, but as a practical matter, based on the proposal to increase the height of the netting to 100 feet, how do you feel that we'll be able to handle the things you just described in terms of protection of the clubhouse and the 18th green?
Right, so our average age at the club is about 63 years old. When Tanner did his design, it was for a lower handicap golfer, which we do not have many of. In fact, we only have about 15 single-digit handicap golfers at our club. So our golfer is not that Tiger Woods hitting at 300-plus yards. We looked at, I want to say exhibit...
The graph?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, let me keep going. Sorry.
With the trajectories?
Yes, I'm sorry. Here it is.
Right here.
It's in M.
Exhibit M. So this was a company that bid on the project, and they did a ball trajectory chart. And we really came up with 100 feet, because if you look at 100 feet, it captures every single club except a well-struck three-wood and driver, which is also at a very high speed, high mile-per-hour swing speed, which our members do not have. So we are capturing any other club by a well-struck person, but also if it's a well-struck golf ball, it's typically going straighter. Now, with that said,
another wish I have that I cannot comply with.
A miss hit going off to the right or the left usually does not hit the heights as it would on a well-struck straight shot. But
What this charting does establish, though, that it's generally a well-struck shot, even if it's not at real high speed, is going higher than 50 feet, if it's misdirected, if you will?
Yes. We've seen a lot in the 90 to 100 foot range. In fact, there's a driving range net in Columbia, Maryland at Columbia Country Club that's 90 foot high, and they still get golf balls over that net. And we have done a lot of watching of our members to see at what heights, and we feel very comfortable at 100 foot tall with our nets.
All right, now, just to back up again through a couple of the exhibits. Exhibit F in the packet was an article on golf participation in the United States, and I think one of our witnesses already testified briefly about it, but would you echo his comments about the type of golfers and the type of individuals that are using and wanting to use Kings Creek?
Yes, I will. We've seen a lot of people, they don't have enough time to play 18 holes of golf. So the use of golf course has dramatically changed to where they may be playing 9 holes, or they may be coming out for an hour and a half of practice time. So we've seen our practice time on the driving range increase dramatically.
And then this article just talks generally about the trends in golf participation in general. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right. Then within the exhibits, there's a letter from you dated November 19th, which is Exhibit G. And I think you've generally testified about most of these matters, but is there anything else you want to add based upon the content of that letter?
No, I think we've gone from 16,000 rounds back in 2007 to over 19,000 rounds. In fact, we're actually going to probably play about 19,500, and we don't see the trend of new members waning at all. I think that is just going to continue to increase, so I would see our usage at the driving range increase.
Now, Joel didn't talk about it too much, but talk to the members just briefly about what is going on at the King Street Country Club in terms of renovations.
So the club found itself in a unique situation where it became debt-free at the end of last year, and the club is going on close to 30 years old. And to stay competitive, we have to make major improvements at the golf club. So the membership has approved a $5.5 million renovation project, which is golf course, practice facilities, new pool house, fitness center, and enlarging of our kitchen to handle all our new members. And we see that trend continuing. And we see other clubs in the area making those changes as well. Peninsula just built a new clubhouse. Rehoboth Beach Country Club just built a new golf shop, fitness center. They're looking to do major upgrades to their golf course as well. So to stay competitive, we need to make these changes. So we approved a three-year project. And for us, safety of our driving range and the safety of our members around it is the number one priority. And for us to stay competitive, we need to have a driving range that we can hit full shots on, because that's a necessity for golfers this day and age.
All right. Thank you. Again, does the board have any particular questions for Mr. Weiss?
Any question, Mr. Whitman?
No.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My last witness is general manager of the club. And it's Mr. Byerly. Why don't you state again your name for the record?
Don Byerly.
This one will be much shorter. Don, the reason I called you primarily is that you have been general manager for the club relatively short period of time, but in connection with all this and the planning process, you've been involved in the desires of the members to try to increase safety at the driving range.
Correct.
And as a manager of the clubhouse who wants people to be able to enjoy the clubhouse, what's your main concern with respect to improved safety of the clubhouse?
Well, okay, so my main job function is operations of the club. Board is more for vision, strategy. So that's why they decided to bring on a GM to handle the operations of the club. But primarily it's, safe operations for the members, their guests, and also for my employees, or our employees. But the current, situation with the 50-foot netting, there's, I've only been there for 4 months now, but even in one of my interviews, actually both interviews, they were separate times, a ball landed on the patio and, of the boardroom. Which is supposed to be a dining patio, outdoor dining. So two, occurrences for myself personally during the interview, and I'm like, okay, and we're addressing this, and
right.
That's why we're here. But
to
but
point,
it's,
I'm sorry, to point out one thing just briefly, the patio is referring to, if you can see that the clubhouse structure is here, and, there, and underneath this tree set, there is a patio in the back, and of course, there's the 50-foot net here, and that's what he was referring to, is that he, in his interview, two balls made over to the net and into the...
And how many yards?
Somebody shanked.
I mean, it might have been
250.
Probably 200, but
160 yards.
Okay. Yeah, I would have said about 160, 170 yards, right?
So also that we have our parking lot, and that's really the area of concern where the higher netting is going to be, or if we get the variance for 100 foot. So you know, you have safety of the members, guests coming in and out of the club to the parking lot, and then also we have a dock that's also. You know, where employees come into the back, or the kitchen, back of the house, we call it, and then all the Cisco, U.S. Food, all the different vendors and purveyors as well. I was actually helping Chef the other day smoking wings for the Super Bowl party, and, you know, and we only had maybe 20 members out at the driving range that day, and a ball hit back there. So it's almost like we need to be a hard hat area. That's my biggest concern, is safety, operations. And then where it costs...
Sorry, the loading range he's talking about is on this side of the building right here, and the patio we're referring to, there's that perimeter drawing, but there's an outdoor patio here, which was one of the safety issues as well.
What is his retainer or membership?
No, I've been a member. Actually, I was one of those people who was referred to in the memo as a member who, when I bought my lot and eventually built a house, the individual who owned the lot had been one of the original buyers from the original developers, and when you did that, you got a membership. And he insisted on giving me my membership. So I'm happy to say I've been a member of the club for 12 years, although I'm still a terrible golfer. But I do want everybody to be safe, for sure. But,
so you're not one of those single handicap golfers, Mr.
Not so much. Try 30. It's like 37 or something is my handicap.
And one other item I'd like to bring up is, you know, we're basically in a constant a balance act of, you know, which amenity can the members or guests have, whether it's the driving range or it's the usage of the back of the clubhouse for outdoor dining, banquets, et cetera. So there's times that if we want to have a banquet out back and, you know, for, say, the historical society, we have tanning, we have to shut the driving range down, which sort of displaces members. And then, you know, it's a balance act of... And it's not probably great for the longevity of the club, that kind of business model. So,
well, unless the board has any other questions for this witness, I thought I'd just make a closing summary of some of this information.
Okay.
I'll save Mark when he's finished. Okay. I was about to say that starting at page 13 of our memo, we try to describe how we think we've satisfied each of the five standards that you provide for in your form application. And I don't know whether it's really worth me trying to read through all that, except to recommend that you, if you hadn't had a chance to look at it, you look briefly at it with me. We've tried to describe the uniqueness of the property. Again, we're not building a new structure in the sense that we're not building a new building. We're not trying to change any of the setbacks of adjoining neighborhoods. We're just trying to increase the safety for our members in our clubhouse and the 18th green. But the property is unique in its own way, and then it's a golf course community. The success of the community in general, as mentioned in the letter we got from the Homeowners Association, is important. It is a driving range. When we had our designers talk to us about moving it, ultimately we concluded it really wasn't feasible to move it anywhere else, but we did want to increase the safety. So we've done that, and we're just describing, we think that's what the uniqueness of this particular request, in that we have an existing driving range, we have existing netting, but we want to increase the safety of that netting. It really can't be otherwise developed somewhere else on the golf course. And we've talked about various other alternatives to the way we do it, but from a standpoint of our golf professional and our membership, the great majority of everyone who was involved in the process wanted to try to keep it as a typical straight, and I say that term loosely, driving range. That, yes, it's admittedly in a narrow area, but we wanted to keep it there. We did want to improve safety, and we were willing to spend, as I said, almost $400,000 to try to do that. But we didn't really think there was any other better way to do it than the way we've proposed it. The standard C about not created by the applicant. There's no question that we created this driving range, and it's there, and it's doing what it's doing. But we think that the ball technology, the club technology, have clearly contributed to how it has become a little bit more of a safety concern than it used to be, and thus the request for the variance to improve the safety. And so that's our concern about that. We did poll everybody who was an immediate neighbor other than the one individual I couldn't speak to, and was pleasantly surprised by everyone's willingness to say, give us their support, particularly those people who would likely see the structure. That was my biggest fear, is that people would be unhappy with the sight of the structure. You never know, they might still be able to itself, but in general, everybody still thought it was a great idea to still have the driving range there. They love the club, and thus, in the back of the packet on the exhibit P, even though it's a little difficult to follow, the folks that all submitted the support for the variance request, Rob Burton and Tim Green and those other people who are here, are the ones who I put the tax on, so you can indicate how close they were to the driving range and what and who was supporting what. I'm pleasantly surprised to say that I don't think anybody in the audience is opposing it, and I hadn't heard of any opposition from anyone in the community. The sign, of course, was posted right at the front of the community for the last month or so, and we did get a lot of questions, but I don't think anyone came forward being upset with us about providing for safety. And then it is a golf course community. We're not trying to alter that. We don't think we're altering the community in general. We are improving the safety for the area and the competitiveness of our community. The minimum variance, that's why we talked to you briefly about the 135-foot. We're trying to go, I mean, that seemed a little bit much to us, too. We think 100-foot will solve the problem in general for the typical golfer. And frankly, if we got somebody who can still hit it over that, then we're going to go find him and say, you know, maybe you should consider using your 5-wood instead of your 3-wood or your driver if you're going to continue to warm up out here. But we don't think that's really going to happen much. So, in event, with your permission, I'd like to submit our packet into evidence to the extent that it wasn't already and answer any questions you might have of any of us.
Thank you. We'll see. We'll start with you, Mr. Mills.
I have no other questions.
Okay. Ms. McGee?
You're spending $5.5 million in major renovations. Do you do your best to hire Delaware or Sussex County contractors, or do you always go out of state?
Well,
now, I shouldn't ask that question.
Well, I don't know that there are any golf course design professionals exclusively in Delaware. I can say with some degree of confidence that we're likely to let the contract in the next day or two, and every one of the contractors who bid on the job are Delaware contractors. I can't, because it hasn't been awarded yet, I can't tell you who has it, but I can tell you that it among the group is all Delaware contractors. This particular job, I think the actual builder of the netting is not a Delaware contractor, but by way of example, the new pool house, for example, Delaware contractor. That's a new, completely new structure that's out.
Just curious.
Yeah, it's. It's on the edge of this parking lot.
That's fine.
That's going to be brand new. Although that's not going to be built this winter, because of the time it takes to build it and the permitting process and the final site plan. But in general, the concrete work, the paving, and the tree work is being done by Delaware contractors. I don't know from a sub standpoint on all the golf course improvements. I don't know who's doing that work, but
local subs, the concrete people, the vendors, the sod suppliers.
Come on up and just put it on.
We can't catch you on the mic from the crowd.
Sorry, yeah, I shouldn't have done that to you.
The concrete cart path pavers, the vendors, the sod suppliers, there's a lot of local Delaware vendors, sand, gravel. Sure. Yep, they're well okay. Represented.
All right.
Anything else?
Mr. Mayor.
After that presentation, no questions.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
What color is the net going to be? Is it going to be a dark color or the netting?
I shouldn't speak to that.
It'll be a darker color, a black that blends in. The black hues blend in with the green backdrop of the trees much better than any other color.
Yeah, so you won't notice as much.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. No other questions. Okay.
Right.
You don't have problems with the wildlife out there that would fly into the net, like resident geese.
Not with their current 50-foot nets. No. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really predict what'll happen that way. We have a, you wouldn't, we have a significant amount of wildlife on the course, although.
We do have geese on the property, but they're all the way at the far end. I've never really seen them at, by the clubhouse. They're by the marsh.
I think they don't like the golf balls. I think they actually would be scared to death of all the golf balls flying around.
No, but they do like to litter on putting green.
They certainly do.
We do have a fox off our 12th hole that likes to take your golf ball and collects them.
Oh, wow.
We have a substantial deer population. Unfortunately, it's increased lately because of all the development over at Sawgrass, but and the backside of Sawgrass. But lots of other wildlife, too. It's eagles, hawks.
Eagles?
Yeah.
Philadelphia?
Yeah. No. Although, that's why I'm a little tired tonight. Because of how late I was up last night watching my favorite team. But
I second that.
Yeah, but what else we have? We have all sorts of stuff out there.
But they wouldn't be affected by this netting.
Again, well, I've never seen the eagles by the clubhouse. They've nested by our fourth green, which is all the way by the marsh.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've seen them actually on 14, but not 14, 15, excuse me, and some trees there. But usually they pick the highest canopy point they can find. Actually, they'll try to find the largest trees and then nest on the top.
You have ospreys on your poles before it's over.
Yeah, we do that. We have ospreys as well.
Question for Mr. Wyman. As a design, was there any research into the, you know, being down at the beach area, structural as far as wind goes? Is it wind design for a certain threshold?
Yes, that is a consideration for the specifications for the. It's a design build netting contract. So the steel poles had been wind rated.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, and I presume it'll be safer than what you got now. So
right, yes. Now we have telephone poles.
Yeah, wooden poles now. But yes, that was a consideration.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. I shall make sure.
I'll ask that question.
Thank you.
Yes. Did you say you were awaiting to award contracts for this or your buildings?
The contract for this particular piece of work that's the subject of the variance request has been bid on. We can't award it until we get a variance, obviously, but that would be the contractor I expect we would use for the netting system. The contracts I was referring to are for the pool house, which is owned multi. I don't even know what the bids are because I'm not on the board, but. Seven-figure numbers for the new structure where we're going to tear down the pool house and replace it completely and build what's the other courts that are being built?
Pickleball
courts, excuse me. They're going to be right next to it. And then there's a expansion of the kitchen and a change of the patio into an inside space, which is also going to be let out for a contract, and a bar patio improvement on the back side of the clubhouse in this one of the areas we're trying to protect, actually. That's all work that I believe will be let out to a Delaware general contractor. And then his firm is the one doing the what I call the general on the course improvements, if you will, in terms of we're taking out a number of traps, by way of when I say traps, that's what I call them. We're taking out a lot of bunkers to make the course a little easier to play. And redesigning some of the and the approaches and some of the tee boxes, and his firm is going to be doing all that work through subcontractors.
Response. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Have any other questions?
I don't.
Nope.
Thank you again.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay. So you would show of hand of support, or you would like to have something you want to offer?
Just here in support.
Just here in support, sir.
Can you come forward, Jamie? Can we ask him? If you wish to speak,
you'll have to come up front, sir.
No,
just
I don't know, sir.
Okay. Already?
Well, I wanted to know if he lived there.
Okay. Is there anyone here then in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve case 12,097. I feel the applicant has more than met the criteria for the variance. The uniqueness of the property is the driving range cannot be located or relocated, and they're experiencing difficulties to public safety and possibly property due to the lack of height of the existing net. Even though it was created by the applicant, it will not, the issue was created by the applicant, the increased height of the fence will not alter the character of the neighborhood since it's a golf course community, and we heard no testimony against it. And they had a recommendation of 135 feet high and made it 100, so therefore I feel it's a minimum variance request to achieve public safety.
Do I have a second to that motion?
I wanted to table it. So.
Either get a second to this or he'd have to.
We have a motion on.
So we've got to wait for a second.
Motion.
Somebody seconds it, there'll be a vote on it.
Okay.
Was there a particular reason to table or?
I was just wanting to go. I mean, they've done an excellent job with a proposal. Our maximum heights is the safety of people and is utmost. I just wanted to think about it, but
we're trying to digest what.
Yeah, what all we've heard tonight. It's a lot to.
And I don't necessarily disagree.
Take in as a non-golfer. I just drive the cart.
There was
but
well, there were several exhibits that weren't referenced and. If you wanted to go over those, I can understand that.
Yeah. But I won't be here February 19th, so it wouldn't be till March 5th, and I don't know how that would affect their business plan.
The visual effect of granting the variance only impacts the property owners of the golf course.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I don't see where approving the increase of net height for public safety and property protection.
Right. And Mr. Mearson, you had commented that it wasn't created by the applicant, and I would suggest that, or that it may have been created by the applicant, but
I was quoting counsel by the location of the.
Okay. I think that, you know, the situation, the business model, the required. Necessity of growth would suggest that it may not be created by the applicant, and that would be an attribute to that standard.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I have a motion on the floor. I need a second or.
May I be heard briefly?
I've got just one very quick.
The timing, but that's all.
I don't have a problem with him. Speak.
Can I ask Jamie a question?
Yeah, then I will. For
I mean, can that be put off that long?
I mean, you can, but, you know, I also recognize that, you know, a lot of times the board tries to give, you know, answers fairly quickly. I know we have one tonight that is old business that was from the first meeting in January, so it's not like we haven't done that in the past.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, if you only need three yays to vote on it, so if three of you felt that if somebody wanted to second that, you could vote on it this evening if there was.
Well, I think that the applicant would, and the hearing's not closed. I think the applicant would
I'll give you a chance now.
We just had a second.
Oh, you got a second. Okay.
I'll second the motion. I have no problem with that.
Okay. All right, guys. I'll go
with you. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mears and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 12,097. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills.
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye, for the reasons.
Okay, Mr. Mears.
Aye, for my reasons.
Mr. Workman.
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reason have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 12,097 is approved.